Enough about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything. Before I go to the message, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I thank you for this blood-bought privilege to stand here before the congregation at Grace and Hope Mission to give a message of salvation. Use me for thy glory. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, I pray. Amen and amen. This evening, we're going to be reading from 1 John, the third chapter, starting at the first verse, reading down to the third verse. Praise the Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not, because it knows him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, not yet appear what we should be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So we're going to talk about the great love of God, the greatness of God. And he proved that through his love. Now, when you love someone, you treat that person in a matter of respect, obedience, and proving that you really love the person. Now, God, because he's given man a free will, he's given us the freedom to exercise our will to show him that we love him, the obedience. But the Bible says in the book of Galatians 5:6 that faith worketh by love. So God, out of his love, when man sinned, gave us Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't have to do that. He's Almighty God. He could have said, well, I gave man a free will. I gave man an opportunity to be obedient to me, and he chose it not to, and he could have just left it at that, and everybody could have went to hell. But he showed us his love through the sacrifice of his own son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse, the Bible said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, or sodomites will enter into the kingdom of God. So God is saying that his kingdom is a holy kingdom. That means it's without sin. So God, out of his love, has given us a sin offering, the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that blood will cleanse you from your sins, proving the love of God and that transaction. The Bible also says, Jesus Christ speaking in the book of John, the 15th chapter and the 13th verse, Jesus said, no greater love than this, than a man to die for his friends. He gave up his life to prove his love for us. So Jesus Christ demonstrated God's love by the death of himself. It's called a propitiation, a self-sacrificial offer for our sins. So God did not say he loved us. He proved his love through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John 14:15, if you say you love me, then keep my commandments. Now, a lot of people say they love God. But when you look at their lifestyle proved that they don't love God because they're not keeping the commandments of God. Now, when you read the book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 22nd verse, the Bible said that God has commanded us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. So if we say we love God, we're willing to put our faith in Christ to prove that love for God. And by loving one another, prove that we are in Christ. Now, when you love one another, that does not mean that you're going to go along with everybody's wickedness. People think if you're loving them, you got to put up with everything that they do. That's not the love of God. The love of God is living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God in righteousness. That's the love of God. Sometimes you say, you may have a friend wants you to go to the movies or hang out at the bar, or hang out over here and do all this other stuff to prove that you love him or love her. But that's not what we do to prove that our love for God, to go along with evil in spite of righteousness. So God wants us to love him by proving his love through Jesus Christ by keeping his commandments. And the book of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 14th verse, the Bible said that those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. In other words, you should always do what you say. You should always practice what you preach. That's what the Bible is telling us. So those who claim to be in Christ, they should be living a life proving that they are in Christ in righteousness. Now, the Bible speaks about being controlled by the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:14. So if you are in Christ, you're going to be controlled by his Spirit. That means you're living by the Word of God. That you're putting the Word of God in practice on a daily basis. Now, a lot of times when people say they are in Christ, they say, well, you know, Christ said if somebody hit you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. They always want to use that as an example to prove to you that you are in Christ. But that only means that you don't go out and do evil for evil to get even with someone. You don't lie on another person just because they lied on you to get even. You don't steal from that individual because they stole from you to get even. That's all Christ is saying. So when you love one another, you're willing to go out there and prove that love by living in righteousness. Well, God said he loved us, and he gave Jesus Christ to prove his love for us. Now, we don't see Jesus Christ in the flesh today, but we see his holy word. And so those who are living for Christ, they'll be willing to read his word, put his word into practice on a daily basis. That's how you're proving that you love Christ. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees in the book of John 8:31, he said, if you continue in my words, then you're my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So when we start doing the word of God, we're proving to God that Christ is in our hearts. And if Christ is in our hearts, we have that love for one another. That's just only living and telling person the truth. See, love would never lie to you. If you lie to someone, you don't love the person. If a person is doing something wrong based on the word of God, you should tell them what they're doing wrong based on God's holy word. You know, Paul in the book of Galatians 4:16 said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So if you love someone, you're willing to tell them the truth about their condition before God. I mean, you can pat them on the back and say, well, you're doing good. If they're not doing good, then you're lying to them. They may think that they're doing good only to find out on the other side of death that they have died in their sins. Is that love? To deceive someone, to allow someone to keep living the life that you know would not get them right with God, but even though they think that they're right with God when they're really not? That's not love. Love is telling the truth. So if you know someone that's not living in Christ wrong, tell that person out of love what they should do to get right with God. Now, they may not receive that, but you did your part. See, God loves us, and God tells us in the Holy Scriptures what we must do in order to get right with him. And it lets us know what will happen for those who's not willing to get right with him, a burning hell. Hell is not God's love. Hell is God's punishment for rejecting his love. So God is letting you know the consequences of rejecting his love, eternity in hell. But if you want God's love, that means you have to receive Christ. And Christ has demonstrated his love for you. It's not a myth. I know a lot of people trying to put Christ in the realm of a myth. Something that happened 2,000 years ago, but we have no proof of it today. Yes, we do. We have proof that Christ exists today. You know what that proof is? A changed life. A life that is now lived in righteousness. That's the proof that Jesus Christ lived 2,000 years ago, and that's the proof that he died for our sins out of his own love. To be transformed into his righteousness. So we have the hope of eternal life through God's love, Jesus Christ. Now, love does not go out and get involved in idol worship. That's not God's love. The love of God is obedience to God's word. That's God's love. So God wants each and every one of us to put on Christ. How you put on Christ? You put on Christ by putting the word of God in your heart and living by it. That's how you put on Christ. And that way you will not have no desire for the flesh. The flesh is being controlled by your senses, thinking that somehow what you feel like is right, but it's not right, it's wrong. See, when God gave us the five senses, he did not give us the senses to live by. It was only to monitor the body. Something is wrong, the senses will let you know that your feelings, you feel bad, that means it could be something wrong in the body. But a lot of people go out and they make decisions based on what they feel like is right. That's not why God gave you the senses. But you see, God wants us to be controlled by his spirit, the word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you say you love God, then you should prove that by obedience to God's word. God said he loved you, and he proved that through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, the Bible said how God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins on that cross. A wise and high man once said, well, I didn't tell Christ to die for me. Well, he wasn't around when Christ died. But I thank God that he died for my sins. He gave me hope. Hope of eternal life. If you're living for the things of this world, you're very miserable. Because as you can see, things are not going the way you thought they would go. And a lot of people, because of 9/11, they're rethinking their decision now. Well, that's good. That God can use the tragedy to glorify himself. to get people to wake up and realize this earthly life is not all there is. Where is your hope? Is it based on the things of this life? You have no hope. Because as you can see, things will perish in this life. Jesus Christ in the book of Luke 12:15 said that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things in which he possesses. You may accumulate a lot of things, but you can never take it with you. But the only thing you're going to take on the other side is your faith. And your faith will determine where your soul spends eternity. If you truly love God, you'd be willing to die to yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to live in you. God truly loved you, and he proved his love for you through Jesus Christ. You know, the death of Jesus Christ proved how valuable man is to God. It proved how valuable you were to God. And value is based on the price that you paid for a product. And look at the price that God pays for our sins, the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And you know what he said in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter and the 5th verse? He said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." But he gave us his only begotten son to prove his love for you. What are you willing to give God to prove that you love him? Your way of living? You willing to give that over to God to prove that you love God? You willing to give your mouth to God? A lot of people love to use filthy words. Why don't you give your mouth over to God and clean up your mouth and start speaking words that will edify not only you but the people who hear you? Give up your way of living. Give up gambling. Give up smoking. Give up cigarettes for God. He gave his son up for you, proving his love for you. You say you love him, give up your lifestyle for him. Give up fornicating for him. Give up stealing for him. You got to give up something to receive Christ. And God wants us to give up sin to receive Christ. You can't do it on your own power. You need help. And you know what God did? He gave you that help by the Holy Spirit. But you can only receive the Holy Spirit by faith in Christ. That's your trade-off. Your sins for Christ's righteousness by faith in Christ. The Bible speaks about crucifying the old flesh. You crucify the flesh by allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. To renew the mind by the Word of God. Romans 12 and verse 2. God wants you to put filthy words out of the mouth and replace them with words of righteousness in God's holy word, the Holy Bible. But see, a lot of people want God to do things for them. They're not willing to do something for God. See, it's like a contract. A contract is between two parties. You get paid to do a certain sports, but you have to go out and perform. You're going to get paid for that. God has given us a covenant, and he's saying through this covenant, if you accept Jesus Christ and be willing to live according to his righteousness, he will save your soul. Now, he has the power to force you to do that, but it wouldn't be love. Love is obedience to God's word, and he wants you to obey his word, proving that you love him in righteousness. But you can't do that with the nature of sin. This is when salvation comes in, to give you a nature of righteousness. Now, the Bible in the book of Colossians 1:12 down to verse 14 speaks about that transformation. You're going to be transformed into Christ's righteousness by the Holy Spirit when you put your faith in Christ. Now you're in the same realm with Christ. Now you can be obedient to God. So you love God? Prove your love for God by obeying the word of God. Obedience proves that you love God. Disobedience proves that you hate God. And the Bible said those who hate God love death. That's what people do. When they hate God, what do? They go out and they smoke. That's death. They drink. That's death. They take drugs. That's death. Slow but lethal. Spiritual suicide. So when you hate God, you love death. And you prove that by your behavior, the thing that you practice before God. If you love God, you would obey God by receiving Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ demonstrated true love when he died in your place. He called you his friend when he died in your place. And you know what? He even died for the sinner. Because you see, before Christ, we all are sinners. after Christ become saints of the Most High God. This is God's love that he demonstrated to each and every one of us by the death of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. What great love is this? That Almighty God came down in the person of Jesus Christ to die for hell-bound sinners. That's a great love. And you're going to walk over that great love for empty promise that cannot deliver you salvation. People are walking away from Christ for Islam, a Buddhism, a Hinduism that cannot deliver you eternal life. You just have a belief that may be very popular in our society, but there's no hope in a religion that cannot atone for your sins. There's no hope in those religions. The only hope you have is in Christ. And Christ has proven himself many times over in the life of those who believe in him. He's been proven. So why doubt Christ? Why doubt the word of God? I was talking to a young man years ago in Brooklyn. He had a friend he used to hang out with on the weekend. He used to like to drink and get drunk and start acting crazy, the guy said. One day he accepted Christ and he started talking about Christ. And he stopped going out to the nightclubs. He used to always walk around with a Bible. And he told me, he said, I don't understand what happened to my friend, but I know what happened to his friend. It's been transformed into the righteousness of Christ. So no matter where you are in sin, maybe your people have given up on you, your parents, your best friend, but not God. You may probably given up on yourself. You know, a lot of these programs, it seems like when the programs fail, they figure there's nothing, there's no hope. But you're looking in the wrong place. See, this is man's way to trying to get you right. But try God's way in Jesus Christ. Receive his love by receiving Jesus Christ into your heart. You say, well, I don't know. I have to be at a certain level to accept Christ. No. I have to be in church to accept Christ. No. All you need is to make a confession to receive Christ. You don't have to have a beautiful suit on to accept Christ. You don't have to be a member of a church to accept Christ. You have a need, and your need is to get rid of your sins. And that's all you need, to just accept Christ, to get cleansed before God. Don't let nobody deceive you. You know, people like to put you in a category. You got to be up here to do this. No, all you need is to accept Christ. And you accept him, God will forgive you, and he will show you his love by giving you the Holy Spirit to empower you to live righteous in this life. That's a wonderful thought. That's assurance of eternal life. Knowing that when you pass on from this earth, you're going to be with Christ in heaven. What hope do you have now? There are a lot of people who say, well, whatever tomorrow may bring, it's what I've got to live with. That's true. But if you're living in Christ, you don't worry about tomorrow or next week because you know that it's all in God's hands. And if you're in the hands of God, you're in the right hands, it will lead you through this life. And he will show you his love through Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about a lot of God's love, but God is also a God of wrath. Romans 1:18. Wrath comes when people reject God's love. This is why God will give each and every one of us an opportunity in this life to accept Christ. Every day you wake up, that's another day that God has given to you. In the book of Lamentation, the 3rd chapter, in the 22nd verse, the Bible said, it is out of the mercy of God that we're not consumed because God's compassion fails not. It is renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So every morning you wake up, that's God has given you another day to repent. Not to go out and smoke cigarettes, not to go out and drink beer or take drugs, but that's the day that God has given to you for you to repent of your sins. Take advantage of God's love. The Bible in the book of Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because these days are evil in which we're living in. In other words, make the best use of your time while you have it. Don't waste your time in the affairs of this life. It's a sad thing to see someone who's wasted their life in sin. And they're very old and they know they're going to die. And they don't want to die because they know they have not lived right for God. That's sad. I talked to many people like that in Times Square. I talked to an ex-prostitute. She was very old, and all of her friends died with some type of disease, and she knows she was going to die. And she had tears in her eyes. She said, well, nobody wants me. Well, I said, Jesus wants you. And this is why he died. He died for people like you to be saved. So receive the love of God by receiving his son into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Don't put God in the class of man. A lot of people want to put God on the same level with man. They got deceived by man and think God is the same way. No. If God was like man, no one would be living on planet Earth, because he would treat you the way you treat him. But God proved he's greater than man, because he has given us salvation, something that you don't deserve. He's given us grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. Grace. Something you don't deserve. But he's given it to us because he's proven his love for us by the death of his own son, Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do with Christ? Pontius Pilate asked that question 2,000 years ago. What shall I do with this man, Jesus? So what will you do with Jesus? Will you put him in your heart? Will you turn your back on him and go the other way? Praise God. And many people say, well, I think all the other religions is just as good as believing in Christ. Is it really? You trying to put all the other religions on the same level with Christ? It's a big difference in the behavior of people who don't believe in Christ. And we can see that difference very clearly today in our society. So will it be Christ or will it be damnation? Amen. So will you receive God's love today? Are you willing to open up your heart and say, Christ, I live and Christ, I die? As I said before, you got to give up something to receive Christ. And you know what you got to give up to receive Christ? Your way of living. You want to receive Christ, you have to start living right. And you know what God does? He gives you the power to do so by the Holy Spirit. You're not out there by yourself. Not a lost case. He will give you the Holy Spirit that lived through you to lead you in righteousness. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He tells you what to do, and it will help you to do it when you give your life over to Christ by the Holy Spirit. A loving God. He did all of this to save your soul from his eternal judgment. You say you love God? How many people in here love God? Are you born again? Are you living according to his righteousness? I see hands over here. I don't see hands over there no more. See? If you say you love God, you got to prove your love by living in his righteousness. It's hard. It's hard, yes. But you know what? It's worth the fight to live righteous in this life. You know what? It's hard to be a sinner. Oh, yes. When I was out there hanging out, I had those hangovers. That's hard. I wake up the next morning with less money than I had the night before. That's hard. You got to pay your bills. That's hard. When you don't have the money to pay the bills. So it's better to live righteous. Fight the good fight of faith and righteousness than to go out there and serve the devil in sin. Because the devil has nothing good for you, friend. He will lie to you, he will deceive you to take your soul to hell after death. So why not fight the good fight of faith? Lay hold of salvation in Christ. It's not going to be easy at first. Like anything else, anything worth having, you got to fight for. You give up, you're not going to have it. It's going to just be like a dead fish going with the flow of sin. So be like a live fish and go against the flow by receiving Christ into your heart. Receive God's great love and let him reveal to you his love and his word by faith in Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to be singing from hymn number 338, There Is a Fountain. Hymn 338. All stand, please. Hymn number 338, There Is a Fountain.
There is a fountain. that fountain in his day. And there may I go bow as he wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away.
So this is what God is inviting for those who have not done so, to have your sins washed away. What can wash away my sins?
Only the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God has made it so easy. It's just up to us to come and to receive and to be cleansed. But we're going to sing the first two verses one more time. Those will be the closing verses. If you have not been cleansed of your sins, you know you're not a child of God. You can become a child of God tonight. You say it's hard, but as the minister said, it's harder to be a sinner. The Bible tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest. There's only in rest, peace in Jesus. So as we sing the first two verses again, come up, just like that dying thief took advantage of the shed blood of Jesus. Come up, give your life to the Lord, be cleansed of your sin.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's.
Praise God. We have the closing prayer by Brother Nathaniel.
Oh, Lord God, this is truly a blessing to be back with Grace and Hope Mission. Lord, I just pray that this message that we just heard tonight will just minister to our hearts and nourish our souls, Father. And Lord, I pray for that person that is wandering into her heart. Lord God, I pray tonight that person will someday make a wise decision to follow Christ. To repent of sin and surrender to Jesus. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.